We just came out of a holiday that's named Thanksgiving. A holiday that should be surrounded by thankfulness for things like our country, you know, how it was founded, for our family, for our friends. And we're going into a season now, Christmas, that reminds us of something else related to thankfulness, and that's joy. A season that reminds us that joy and good tidings have come to earth because of Jesus Christ was born. And as you look at that account surrounding everything about his birth, you see all these people full of joy, and not just people, but angels full of joy for this little baby who was born. And they're giving praise to God, thankfulness to God for this birth. So you can say that we're surrounded right now by joy and thankfulness and praise in this season of our life, in this time of the year. But I wonder, does that describe you? Would others who know you characterize you as one who is thankful? As one who is full of joy? As a God praiser? I came across an interesting statistic this week as I began studying this topic of thankfulness. According to the American Psychological Association, almost 40% of the population experiences increased stress levels during the months of November and December. Stress that can lead to illness, substance abuse, anxiety, depression, all of those kinds of things. I don't know if that's a very surprising statistic necessarily. I think simply we see that's the truth as we look at some of those around us. But here, this time of the year, when it should be thankfulness and joy, it's stress, anxiety, depression. There's many reasons for this stress. It could be as simple as just overextending gift buying, right? So now we're in financial stress. We see families that we only see once a year, and I think everyone has that Uncle Bob or two in the family, like I mentioned last week, and it just feels like they're just out to make you miserable, and they come, and life is stressful. Then it's the flu season, it's the weather, which we're praising God, it's good weather right now, but the weather can get nasty this time of the year. Travel, all those things add to stress. And then there's maybe the big one, loneliness. Maybe you just feel like you don't have very many friends and family. Or maybe the holiday season stands as a reminder of a loved one that's no longer here to share it with you. These loved ones are very real and very raw things. And if you're not watchful, these kind of things, even for a Christian, can creep into your life at any time and rob you of your joy. And they can turn thankfulness on its head until all that's left is maybe bitterness or that anxiety or depression that we talked about. Ingratitude. So this holiday season, this Christmas season, what will characterize you? What will characterize you? For some of you, maybe thankfulness and joy, it comes easy this time of the year. It comes easy. But maybe for some of you, other ones, it's not so easy. It's very hard. You know that the Christian life, not just this season, not just this time of the year, but your whole life, dearly beloved, is supposed to be characterized by thankfulness and joy. And praise to God. All the time, in everything, and yes, no matter what. I say this with tears in my heart because that is a deeply self-convicting statement. To some of you, it maybe seems like an oxymoron when you start thinking about, like, all the time, in everything, no matter what, how is that even possible? That's what we'll look at today. I want to provide for you this morning a theology of thankfulness, because there are things in God's Word that He has to say about the subject. It's not my words or thoughts, these are God's words, and since it's about God, it is theology, the study of God. God has a lot to say about this, and I pray that in this study that you'll benefit with it as much as I have just studying it. You'll benefit greatly from it. I want to begin with a couple of definitions. We're focusing on thankfulness this morning. But as we'll see, thankfulness, it often goes hand in hand with joy. So what is that relationship exactly? Under section 1 on your sheets, you can fill out some of these definitions. The Greek dictionaries, it says it's a state of well-being or great gladness. So my former pastor, Pastor Fred Gums, he had, I think, a better definition in the Greek dictionaries. He presents it like this. As he sees Scripture, his definition is, joy is a settled confidence in God. It's a settled confidence in God. It's a deep down confidence that God is in control and that He is sovereign and that He will fulfill His promises. And so, yes, that deep down, settled confidence in God means a state of well-being. It can mean great gladness in your heart as you dwell on it. Thankfulness, on the other hand, according to the Greek dictionaries, is an expression of appreciation for benefits or blessings. Or you could say it like this. Biblical thankfulness is giving gratitude for God's gifts. Or if you want to add another G in there, giving gratitude for God's gifts and goodness. So you could say that joy is rooted in God's character, while thankfulness is rooted in the blessings that flow to you because of His character. And then there's praise, which is really just an expression of either joy or thankfulness. It's an outward expression most of the time. And if you search Scripture, loved ones, for all three of these terms, they're nouns, they're verbs, they're actions, the actions that expresses people having them or doing them, you'll never come short of study. Never. Scripture is filled with these three things. And you'll find them in combination quite a bit of the time. Loved ones, joy and thankfulness and praise are core qualities of the very faith that we as Christians profess to have. So let's see now what God has to say in His Scriptures about thankfulness. Remembering that all three of these qualities, they intersect. But the first thing I want you to see is Roman numeral number 2 on your sheets, which is this. Thankfulness should characterize every believer. That's the first blank. And why is that? Because you are commanded to be thankful. Number 1, you are commanded to be thankful. We're going to look at 4 reasons today. I have 5 total, so we'll have to get to the 5th one next week. But the first one is, you are commanded to be thankful. So let's look at kind of one of the primary passages that we'll be looking at today. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, 2:18. What's it say? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if you want a place to kind of plant your Bibles today, to bookmark your Bibles, this would be a good place. This is one of our 3 or 4 main passages. We're at a lot of different places today. We're going to look at a lot of verses today, so I'll put them up on the screen. But this passage, really, if you look at it, it's pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. 3 commands. Do you want to know God's will for you? Here you go. Here's 3 very clear things that God wills of you. That phrase there, give thanks, that phrase is in the present active imperative mode. Now, some of you have been following along for a while, so I feel like maybe you might know what that means, but let me just explain that. So, being in the present active mode, that means it can indicate a present ongoing action. So, give thanks and keep on giving thanks. But it's also very clearly a Greek imperative, which means that's an English command. And I think, loved ones, that tells us a little something about the nature of giving thanks. See, it's something that you have to obey. You have to obey. Now let me ask you this question. Can you command your emotions? Can you command your emotions? Like, unless you're a very practiced actor, no. You can't command your emotions. And even the actor would only be faking it, right? I can't command myself to be sad or to be angry or to be happy. These are emotions that go in waves with the circumstances of life. We don't have much, if any, control over these emotions. And certainly not always in every circumstance. So that's just to say this, loved ones. Thankfulness, giving thanks, it's not primarily an emotion. Neither is joy. Now, certainly, we experience emotion with joy and thankfulness. I don't think that we can help but to experience those emotions with those things most of the time. God's not asking you to be stoic here. Like if someone comes up to you after church this morning and they ask how you're doing, please don't paste a fake smile on your face and say, "I'm just full of joy and thankfulness," if you don't mean it, okay? That's because the pastor said it was commanded, so I have to be like that. That's not what this is at all. That's not what Scripture is at all when it's commanding you to do things. It's not a cold, stoic thing to do. But all the same, thankfulness and joy are not primarily emotions. Joy is a settled confidence in God, and thankfulness is giving gratitude to God. As that psalmist writes, we almost chose this for today. I sort of wish we would have, but it's had a lot of songs on my heart today. But it's trust and obey. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy, what? In Christ Jesus, in Jesus, than to trust and obey. Thankfulness is a command to be obeyed. That's number one. Number two is very similar to that. Why should your life as Christians be characterized by thankfulness? Because number two on your sheets, thankfulness is inseparably attached to other commands that God expects you to obey. We'll get through this one fairly quickly, I think, but what I want you to see here is there is a command, and attached to that command is thankfulness. And you can't separate thankfulness away from the command. Like if you were to leave out the thankfulness, the command, the whole thing falls apart. It just falls apart. The first verse I want to look at is this, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. The end of verse 18, look at the underlying words. Be filled with the Spirit. And I'll read the rest here. But addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God says through Paul here, be filled with the Spirit. That's the command. That's the command. And what does that look like? It's beautiful. What if you want to know what being filled with the Spirit looks like, it looks like this to start with. Addressing one another in psalms and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord in your heart. I mean, that's praise right there, right? When you're making melody and singing praise and singing these songs, you're praising God. You're praising God. That's an outpouring of thankfulness. Enjoy. But just so you understand, Paul says, attached to this filling of the Spirit is giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a deep connection between being filled with the Spirit, as we've seen so much in Acts, and thankfulness. We're going to look at more of that next week, that connection between the Spirit and thankfulness. But you can see that connection right here as we're looking at this point. These things are inseparably attached. To be filled with the Spirit means you are going to have an outpouring of thankfulness. Let's look at another verse, Colossians 2:6-7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. God says, you receive Christ, now walk in Him. Walk in Him. That's the command. And what does that walking in him look like? It's rooted, it's built up in Christ, established in the faith, and it's abounding in what? Thanksgiving. It's abounding in thanksgiving. Walking with Christ, loved ones, means that you should be abounding in thanksgiving. Again, not my words. These are difficult things for some of us, but this is the words of God. Walking with Christ means to be abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding. We're going to talk about that word later. Then this one, Philippians 4:6. This is one that probably many of you have memorized. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's the command here? Do not be anxious. That's a command. Like some people say, that's the impossible command. How do you not be anxious? I almost, when we just did Philippians 4:4-6, I would have loved to have done that too. But that's a command. Do not be anxious. Literally, it's stop being anxious. Instead, what? Bring it to God in prayer and in supplication. That supplication, that's just specific prayer, not generic prayer. So it's not just God, help me. It's not just that and end, but it's God. Here's what's going on. Here's how I'm feeling. What does your word say? Will you help me now, Lord? It's a specific prayer. It's what supplication is. But both of those, prayer and supplication, they have a condition, don't they? And what is it? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's not, okay, God, you answer my prayer and then I'll be thankful. No. It's pray and thank God. Even in times when things are pressing you so that you can become anxious. And this leads to number 3 on your sheets. You are to be thankful always and in everything. You be thankful always and in everything. Loved ones, we've seen this in almost every single verse that we've looked at so far. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks when? In all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks when? Always. And for what? Everything. Colossians 2:6 and 7, abounding in thankfulness. Abounding in it. And Philippians 4:7, in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. We could look at more than twice as many scriptures and see this continues and continues and continues, but our screen is already full and I think that you get the idea here. Like, it is supposed to be always and in everything. This, loved ones, this is the part that cuts right to my heart. This is the part that seems impossible. Like, how can I possibly be thankful always and in everything, Lord? Even when I'm persecuted at my work for proclaiming your name at school, even when I lose my job, even when the market crashes, when I lose my house, when I'm so sick that I can't even breathe, when I lose a wife or a child, even then, Lord, how? How? Loved ones, I am not lost to the fact that you face real trials. I am not up here to simply preach some high theology of head knowledge to you. I'm very much aware of what God is asking. The reality of it. And I'm equally convicted. Be always in everything, in every circumstance. They're there for a reason. They leave us no room to doubt. See, even an unbeliever can be thankful when life is good, right? Anyone can be thankful over a promotion, over some good news, over the birth of a child, and even over a beautiful sunny day. Anyone can be thankful over those things. So God says, not just then, always, and in everything. When life is going good, yes. And when life is full of heavy trials, everything in between, be thankful. Question. Who wrote all these letters that we've been looking at? I see some Pauls. That's right. Paul wrote these letters. Do you want to hear a summary? We looked at this in Sunday school. Of his life after he became a follower of Christ. I'll put it up on the screen. It's a lot to read, but I'll read it here for you. He says, I've suffered, verse 23, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Loved ones, Paul's life, it was characterized by danger and suffering and persecution. But you know what else characterized his life? Do you know? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. You can't hardly begin to open up a letter of his and read the beginning and see and not see all of the praise and blessing that he gives to God and to the people. Somewhere around 50 times in his letters, he gives thanks. Even to the sinful Corinthian church, he says, I give thanks to God always for you. And then he lays it on them. But he's still thankful. His life was characterized by thankfulness. And you can't help but to see the joy that comes through as he's writing these letters to his people. This man, characterized by danger and suffering and persecution, was also a man full of joy and thankfulness to God and to Christ Jesus. In all of those letters that we quoted, except for 1 Thessalonians, Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison. Probably chained to a guard, waiting to hear if the sentence would be death. This man, whose very mission it was to spread the gospel to the known world, he was not a man who wanted to stand still and be in prison, chained and stuck, but there he was. He wrote Philippians in prison. Read that letter. 9 times you'll see that he talks about thankfulness and joy, or maybe more than that even, when you combine them. Look at how he begins it in chapter 1. But here he is, stuck in prison, writing all these letters. And yet, inspired by God, he says, be thankful. And he himself is thankful. Loved ones, it's possible. Possible to be in chains, to be stuck, to be suffering, to be weeping, to be persecuted, to be all sorts of trouble, and still be thankful. See, thankfulness, it's not something that ebbs and flows with the circumstances. That's what happiness is, actually. Happiness depends on the happenstances. That's how I always think about it. Happiness depends on the happenstance. But biblical thankfulness is founded on an unchanging God and His promises and His unchanging Word because of the once-for-all sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus Christ. It's an expression of gratitude to God for His many blessings, regardless of the circumstances. And so it is to be always and in everything. That doesn't mean that you don't weep, I've said this before, or grieve or cry. It's not a matter of being stoic. You can both weep and be thankful at the same time because of the object of your thanks. I like that verse we read earlier, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says to be abounding in thankfulness. That word, abounding, it means above and over everything else. Walk in Christ above and over everything else in thankfulness. Whatever your circumstances, and they may be pretty low, be thankful above and over that because, loved ones, you have a God that is above and over all of those circumstances. But everything else, it may very well be part of your life. You may be suffering. I don't know everyone's story. The idea here is it's not to thank God for the news of cancer or the loss of someone or something. You thank Him because you know that there is some purpose in it, even if you can't see it. You thank Him despite the circumstances because of His unchanging and great promises. You put on thankfulness because the object of your faith is worthy. He's faithful. He's unchanging. So we do have much to be thankful for. Let's look at that now. So asking the question, why should a Christian's life be characterized by thankfulness? Number four in your sheets is this, because God gives you every reason to be thankful. He gives you every reason to be thankful. I'm just going to give you the four big ones, but again, there's more. This isn't exhaustive. The first one is this. God gives you every reason to be thankful. Be thankful for salvation. That's the first thing. Be thankful for your salvation. Paul is always thanking God for the salvation of others. For example, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved. Notice how often he ought to be giving thanks here again. Always. Thanks to God for you. Why? Because God saved you. He saved them. How about Colossians 1, verses 3 and 4? We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Again, with the always. Thanking God, since hearing they had faith in Jesus. Salvation. They were saved. And we can keep going on and on down the list, especially as we look through Paul's letters, the beginning of them. But he is thankful for their salvation. And if Paul is always so thankful for their salvation, how ought they to be? And how ought you to be? Peter says this in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that sound like to you? Whenever you see that, blessed be God. That's praise. That's praise. It's the outflow of thankfulness. Why should we be blessed? Because He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There it is, born again, salvation. And we could add the future hope of resurrection that comes from that salvation. That one's not even on my list. Like I said, it's not exhaustive. But if you keep reading there, I don't have this on the screen, but if you keep reading 1 Peter 1 and you get to verse 6, he says this too. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And there it is, all right there. Thankfulness and joy alongside of grief and trials. Boy, have you been born again? Have you been born again? The gospel is the good news because it speaks of that salvation through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to heaven except through Him. The Bible says that every one of us, including myself, before knowing Jesus, that we were completely dead in our sins, in our trespasses. But Jesus, He came down from heaven, was born of woman and spirit, fully God, fully man, lived a perfect life. He faced many trials Himself, especially as those ones that led up to the cross. He was falsely accused of being the worst kind of criminal. He became a willing sacrifice. The Bible says that it was for the joy set before Him that He endured the cross, despising the shame. See, He died so that you might live, so that you might be born again, so that you can know the joy that you simply can't have without knowing Him. That you'll never know if you don't know Him. Not the joy that He offers, the peace, the fruit of the Spirit. So Jesus, He died on the cross. 3 days later, He rose again, as Peter is talking about resurrection. He's the resurrection, He's the life, and because of His resurrection, He is the living hope, as Peter says, for all of those who trust in Him, who will one day also be raised, both in spirit and in body, a new body. Salvation is a free gift of God. It's a free gift of God, but you must believe. You must believe. You must respond in faith, which means to turn away from your sin and turn to Jesus in faith. The author and finisher of your faith. Will you do that if you haven't already? Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Oh, to know the joy of that. To know the joy of that. Come see me after service if that's you. If you have more questions, I'm here to share that news with you. Jim would be happy to do the same, I know. If you already know Him, remember your salvation. Remember the joy of your salvation. Don't ever stop preaching the good news to yourself. Keep that close to your heart and always be thankful to God for it. That's the first thing. Second thing is this, letter B. Be thankful for God's Word. Be thankful for God's Word. Listen to Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. He says this, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers." Boy, believer, if you know Jesus, He has given you access to His very Word. And that Word is living and active. And the Spirit that He gives to you will help you come to an understanding of what God is saying in His Word. Paul here, he is constantly thankful for it. And so too should you be, and I love this, the prophet Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet, because he had a heavy message to bear to Israel. And so he was mourning and grieving over the fact that he had to bring this message to Israel, that their destruction was coming. And yet, look at the words that he speaks in Jeremiah 15:16. Love this. "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart." What a beautiful picture that is. This weeping prophet found thankfulness in God's words. Oh, that is so in every one of you and in me. To delight in the Word of God, to let it be the joy of your heart, to eat it. The solid food. Back in the New Testament, Paul says this, "Be thankful, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, indeed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So, Christian, be thankful for the Word of God that dwells richly in you. The word of Christ, as Paul puts it here, it teaches, it admonishes, and it will even add more thankfulness to your heart as you're reading it. Equips you for every good work. Give Him thanks for it. That's letter B. Letter C is this. Be thankful for your church family. Just think again at how Paul addresses every letter. Here, I'm just going to throw a whole bunch of stuff up on the screen. There's some of them. Paul is so thankful for the church and God's work in it. What about you? Are you thankful for your church family? I almost feel like I don't need to ask this. I know you are. But this isn't a social club, loved ones. We're here for each other in Jesus' name. Using the gifts that He gives us, we weep with those who weep, right? And we rejoice with those who rejoice. But it's all for the building up of His body. God gives us all gifts and talents. And He wants us to use them so that we can love one another. So ultimately it says you're built up in that love. If you look at Ephesians 4. So you can be thankful for this family of God. I know I am. Thanks be to God for you. That's letter C. Letter D is this. Be thankful for every spiritual blessing. I'm sure you are familiar with this verse, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If you're ever not feeling thankful, just read Ephesians 1. This is just one verse pulled out of it, but read Ephesians 1. You'll see the spiritual blessings that you have to be thankful for. Salvation is certainly in view here, but it's also everything else that comes with salvation. You, loved ones, you know Jesus, you've been given the Holy Spirit of God who's producing that spiritual fruit in you and giving you gifts to serve one another. It's fruit the world can't know. You've been placed in the family of God, but you are family. Your sons, your daughters, your brothers, your sisters. You're a bridegroom prepared for the bride. You have been given access to the very throne of grace that Israel could never know. They had to go to the high priest once a year and make a sacrifice. But you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, including having access to the throne of grace. Whenever God wants you to use it, you have a Father in heaven who wants you to pray for Him. We looked at a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians 5 and Philippians 4. Pray always. Not just be thankful always, but pray always and rejoice always. Those are all three there. God wants you to pray to Him. And He speaks back through that Word of God that we talked about. So search it for His promises. Pray it to Him. You have been given that living hope, sealed as a guarantee until the day of redemption, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. Death has been defeated for you through Jesus Christ, and one day it will be defeated forever. There will be no more death, no more sin. Your spirit goes on to be with Christ forever, and one day a new body will reunite to it. These are all part of the spiritual blessings which are in heaven. When you think about all that you deserved, loved ones, all that you deserved, and then all that you have received, I don't know that there's even a comparison. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing. Oh, how that ought to fill your hearts with thankfulness. The problem is that we're such temporal creatures. Right? It's easy for us to fix our eyes on the problems at hand, and we take our eyes off Jesus. But we're going to get to that topic next week, more on that next week. And it's not just the spiritual blessings that we can be thankful for. Letter E on your sheets, and you probably knew this was coming. You can be thankful for every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. James 1:17, right? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who is what? There is no variation or shadow due to change. There is no unchangingness. He is always, always faithful. When is the last time that you just thank God for that, for His unchangeableness? In theological terms, we call that the immutability of God, but His unchangeableness. God is so good. Matthew 5:45 came to my mind here as I was looking at this too. God, He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. See, every good and perfect gift is from above. When's the last time? Well, it was this morning for some of us, I can tell you that. But when is the last time you praised God for a beautiful sunrise, or the weather, or for the rain? Those are good and perfect gifts from God. That the world is still spinning around and around at the exact speed that it's supposed to, or it'll fly out. That's a good gift from God. The fact that you woke up sucking air this morning, as my coworker used to say, that's a gift from God. That's life. Life is a good and perfect gift. I mean, if you started making a list of all those little things and the big things, and you put it on one side of the sheet, I don't think you'd ever run out. You'd never get to the other side of the sheet to put the list of the bad things. You just wouldn't run out, because every good and perfect gift comes from the unchanging God who is sovereignly directing even above and beyond your circumstances. Thankfulness should characterize you if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. It's commanded. It's inseparably attached to other commands. It's always and in everything. And you have every reason in Christ to be thankful. There's one more that we're going to get to next week, like I said. It's more of an antithesis statement, more of a negative statement, but we want to look at it. We'll see that next week. This is just a portion, loved ones, just a portion of the Scriptures and what they have to say on thankfulness. But I pray that God will enrich you with His Word this week, with this message, that you'll be as convicted, even as I was convicted. Now maybe, I'm sure more, some of you are a lot more thankful people than I sometimes tend to be. I look at my life and I am so convicted, because I know I am not thankful always and in everything all the time. I do let the ebbs and waves get a hold of me at times. And we're going to look at that next week. That's another thing we'll look at. Reasons for ingratitude or a lack of thankfulness, and then what to do about it. So that's what's coming up next week. Let's pray.